Hi everybody, this is Martin Zunder. I'm off the leash. I'm out of the laundry room. I'm on the road, but not too far down the road. I'm actually a mile from my house. I'm at the Harbor Shops Shopping Center. Publix is our grocery store down here, and it's right over there. But I thought it would be fortuitous for me today, and thus for you, to broadcast from this auspicious location. I want to talk to you today about the Galatians. I want to talk about their mental state. I want to talk about what were they thinking when they were so swiftly transferred from the gospel brought to them by Paul to a different gospel, which is not a legitimate gospel. Going to get into that. And I'm trying to figure out their mental state. I'm trying to figure out the cerebral processes, if there are any indeed, and I think there are. They're not admirable, but they're there to better help us understand our evangel and how to get it across to people and how to prevent people from being dissuaded from the grace of God. Because, my friends, the opposition needs crushed. The opposition to this truth needs crushed. Yes, I'm not talking about those who are opposing. I'm not into crushing people. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. That's not me talking. I'm quoting God there. But the message that would mix law and grace, that would take this pure, great thing we have and mix it with foreign elements, it's got to go. And we're going to see how adamant Paul is. We're going to see how upset he is, really. He's trying to keep his cool. He's trying not to make it personal, but it is. He starts here in verse 1 of chapter 1. Paul, an apostle, not from humans, neither through a human, but through Jesus Christ. Why does he say that right away? Well, I'm telling you, it's that the people, we're going to see this in Galatians. The people who are distracting the Galatians and trying to mix elements into Paul's gospel are human beings. And they're polished human beings. They're slick human beings. They're like Kirby vacuum cleaner salesmen. They know how to, they'll flatter you. They'll get into your house. They'll tell you how nice you look. And they'll be all about making you feel good. Then they'll bring their insidious teachings in there. But this is so not how Christ operates. So Paul right away is saying, I'm not a Kirby salesman. I'm not another person coming around you peddling the word of God. Paul is saying, I don't do this for profit. Paul says, I don't do this for my own ego. Paul says, this is not what I wanted to do when I grew up. I wanted to be an esteemed Pharisee. I threw all that away. I risk my neck. This is Paul. He's trying not to make it personal, but he can't help it. Basically, Paul is saying later here, he says, I risk my own neck to bring this evangel to you, and you throw it away like it's nothing. That's the first aspect. The second aspect of Paul saying, I did not receive this through a human, is that he did not receive it through Peter. He did not receive his gospel through the chief apostle of the circumcision, who was numero uno honcho under Jesus Christ while Jesus Christ was on earth in his Jew suit. Jesus wore a Jew suit for 33 years. The Son of God disguised himself in a Jew suit. And he was strictly bringing a message to Israelites that was completely consistent with the promise God gave to Abraham. This is why Paul says later in Romans 15:8, Christ was a minister of the circumcision to confirm the Abrahamic promises. That's it. Nothing more. Hard to believe, I know. Don't panic. Don't freak out on me here. There's more, but it comes out later. And so this explains all those weird things you read about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, like Jesus Christ telling his disciples, don't even take this message out, the message of the kingdom of the heavens. Don't even go to a road of the nations. Go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's Matthew 15:24. If you think that Jesus Christ is laying out your one and only chance to get saved or burn in hell for eternity, you have a hard time with this passage. And basically, you're just going to look the other way at it. Let's turn somewhere else. I've seen it many times. People don't want to confront this. Peter was his right-hand man while he was in his Jew suit. And Peter took that message to Israel. Oh, you remember that woman who had to beg Jesus Christ? Her son was afflicted by some kind of demon or something. And she begged him, as son of David, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus says a really mean thing to her. He says, is it right to take the bread from the children and give it to dogs? In other words, I am the minister of the circumcision, and you're asking me to take this bread that belongs to Israel and give it to you, a dog. And then she implored him, she bugged him, basically. She forgot the son of David title. That was a good thing. She called him son of David, and he wouldn't have anything to do with it. She then said Lord, which is generic. Like, Lord, can you get out of your Jew suit for a second and help me out here? So he did. So it was barely. It was like, okay, that was an anomaly. Didn't mean to do that. Whoops. Nothing to see here, folks. Move on. I bless somebody of the nations. A little premature, but I was feeling good. And she did, was a nice lady. And and she begged me. So I helped her. So Peter had this message. Paul did not get his message from Peter. I did not receive it from a man. He's an apostle, not from men, neither through a man. The concordance, and most versions say through a man, but the literal Greek is human. I did not receive this through a human. And that's even better. He did not receive it through a human being. Peter did not take his message and give it to Paul. Paul heard from superhuman source, from Jesus Christ. So Paul is right away here distinguishing himself from the loser circumcisionists who are opportunists, who are knocking on the doors of the poor Galatians and basically selling them crappy sweepers. You know, a vacuum cleaner salesman is the only person to whom you can say your product sucks and you're actually complimenting them. But you see, Paul was not of this stripe. Paul was pure. His message was pure. And we're going to see how pure it is. Paul says, grace to you and peace. He gets us out of the way because he's about to kick their asses. But he has to start nice. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gives himself for our sins, that he might extricate us out of the present wicked end. I told you that, who dare walks behind my car while I broadcast? It's a hooded man. I told you that Paul was taking this a little personally. But he first, takes it personally for Christ's sake. Christ died on the cross. Christ, before he died, he suffered on the cross for 6 hours to do away with sins. Now, these foolish Galatians are actually being talked into the fact that some of their sins might still be standing in the way of Jesus Christ blessing them. And if I was Paul, and if I heard this, I would have said, if Jesus had suffered another hour on the cross, would that have done it? Another 2 hours? What will it take, Galatians, for you to finally rest in the completeness of Christ's work? And it was Paul who saw Jesus Christ, the glorified Christ, not in his Jew suit. No, he had changed out of his Jew suit, and now he was a light brighter than the noonday sun. And now that he was rid of this constraint of Jewry, this constraint of being a son of Joseph, son of Abraham, son of David, now he's the son of God. He has all power. Now he can give a message that has nothing to do with Abraham. He can give a message now to Paul on the road to Damascus that goes beyond the problem of Israel, and it goes into the problem of humanity. Yes, you have to go behind Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to find the real problem, to find the root of the problem. Pull this thing up by the roots. My dad used to make me pick dandelions when I was a kid. I had a few chores. That's why I'm such a responsible, hardworking human being, because my parents made me work. And I had to pull dandelions. My dad would always say, get them by the roots, son. Get them by the roots. And I love getting stuff by the roots. I don't like these doctors that just treat symptoms and they don't treat the root cause. It's like, take 2 aspirin and call me in the morning. Yeah, what's 2 aspirin going to do? It's going to mask the pain, but it doesn't treat the cause. Paul's message, given to him by Jesus Christ, treats the cause of humanity's woes, and it goes back to sin itself, and it goes back to Adam, because Adam was the premier sinner. El primero sinero. Actually, that was Eve. He joined her because he liked her. And so, on the day he sinned, he began to die, became mortal, and it is mortality, death, that is passed through to us. But I haven't gotten into the mental state of the Galatians, have I? Not yet. I'm giving you some background information here. Paul's insulted for Christ. It's a slap in the face of Christ to say that 6 hours on the cross wasn't enough. What do you want? Another 45 minutes? Would that have helped you, Galatians? Second of all, Paul's taking it personally because he risked his neck to bring this gospel to the Galatians. He was in danger whenever Paul traveled. He was in danger in the city. He was in danger in the wilderness. He was in danger from false friends. He was in danger from his own brethren, according to flesh. He was in danger at sea. Did I mention that? On land, at sea, in the air. Whenever Paul flew, no matter what airlines he took, he was in danger. Probably United. You're in more danger with United Airlines than any other airlines. They'll beat you up and drag you out of there. So Paul's insulted on two counts, mainly for Christ. But then, yeah, for myself, I worked hard. And here's the thing, that thus swiftly, Paul says in verse 6, I am marveling that thus swiftly you are transferred from that which calls you in the grace of Christ to a different evangel, which is not another. In other words, it's a different evangel, but it's not another. It's not a legitimate evangel. It's not Peter's evangel. It's not the gospel of the circumcision. No, but I would call it a bastard evangel. It's bastardized because it's a mixture. It's not pure. It's not another, except that here's the key to the whole thing. Some who are disturbing you want to distort the evangel of Christ. That's the inspired word here. Distort. So the gospel, quote, the gospel, air quotes, that the circumcisionists were bringing to the Galatians was a distortion of Paul's gospel. It was, we're going to see this later in Galatians, it was a mixture of law and grace. And Paul hates the distortion. What are the other people? Either you're going to follow Peter, you're going to jump ship from me, you want to belong to the circumcision, you Galatians, you Greeks, you want to be second-class citizens of a fleshly evangel that does legitimately mix law with grace. It is a cooperative salvation. You do have to produce fruit worthy of repentance. You have to repent and be baptized. If you want to do that, you want to go through the tribulation, is that what you want to do? Okay, then be a pure circumcision person. Keep me out of it. You can't hang out with me and Peter and mix these two things. That's where the bastard people come in. Paul hates that. So, the question comes, so what was this gospel? The false gospel was a mixed gospel. Why so swiftly? Were they transferred so swiftly? It's flesh. Flesh loves to contribute something to the cause. You never heard that phrase, too good to be true? This is what people think in religion also. It's too good to be true. This grace we have, this where sin increases, grace super exceeds. I mean, you can't even convince hardly any Christian today that grace is more powerful than law, or it's more powerful than your own sin. No. You can't convince them, because they're really in awe of their own sin. It's like, well, I sinned. Jesus Christ died for your sin, numbnuts. Yes, but I sinned. I mean, they put their sin, they mat it, they frame it, and they venerate it. Oh, this is my sin. I can't be right with God because of my sin. Jesus Christ died for your sins, numbnuts. And while we were still sinners, Jesus Christ died for our sake, Romans 5:8. And Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, 1 Timothy 1:14-16, foremost of whom am I, Paul said. Not me, I'm not the foremost sinner, I'm a decent person, but of course we all fail, we all screw up. But this is the trophy. Sinners are the trophy for God's grace. But mentally, you see, It's so easy to want to grab onto something where it can look like you're contributing, you're cooperating, you're found worthy of it now. And the key element to that is then you can condemn other people. It's so much fun to look down your noses at other people and condemn them. That's the attraction of a mixed gospel, is it's pride. And if you get down to the root of it, the sickening root, like those dandelions, it's human pride. It's the pride of the flesh dressed up in religious garb. It's a tomb whitewashed with the sickly product of religious guilt. I hate it, and so did Paul. Thank you.